Lighthouse Church presents the following message.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Ben Montgomery. I'm an elder here at Lighthouse, and it's just a privilege and an honor to bring the word to you guys this morning. It's pretty tough to follow John Gayhart and his message on endurance. Man, he can deliver a message really well. So, as the Lord would have it, John preached on endurance, and I'm going to preach on rest. So, here we go, and we did not plan that out. So, it's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible the way the Lord works. So, if you want to go ahead and start turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, we'll start in verse 28. So, some of you guys may be coming back from vacation. Some of you guys may be on vacation right now and joining us online, so we welcome you too. And vacations are certainly restful. However, that's not the rest we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about a rest that removes anxiety and striving. It's actually a rest that's a lifestyle that you actually don't need a vacation from. So that's the rest we're going to talk about today. It's a rest that's given by faith, and it's a rest that we only find in Jesus. So students and children, y'all be ready, okay? Because I'm going to ask y'all some questions throughout the service, so be on your toes, all right? All right, let's read our scripture for today, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Father, we love you. God, you're good. You're a good father. Lord, thank you for allowing us just to gather in your house today, Lord, and worship you corporately. What a blessing that is, Lord. Don't allow us to take advantage of that. Lord, allow us just to rejoice in that and praise you and worship you as we come together. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you open up eyes and ears and hearts today, Lord, that they hear your word, not my word, Father, that they hear your word. So, Lord, in that, I pray that you give me words to speak, Lord. And if anything I say is not of you, Father, just allow it to fall by the wayside. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so first, what is rest that is given is the first question. So you see, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I think it's important before we dive into that we receive the preceding scripture. So verse 20 through 24 talks about the unrepenting towns that Jesus was in performing miracles. And he talks about the harsh judgment that they're going to receive for not repenting. And then in verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. So, church, then after that, Jesus invites us. He invites us in to our scripture today. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. So he's inviting us in to salvation. That's the rest. So the rest that we have in him is salvation. So that's the first rest. Then as we're in relationship with him, as we receive that salvation and we start our relationship with him, he just starts to change our hearts. And when he changes our hearts, we start to desire to pursue him and not the things of the world. Psalm 116 says that rest is knowing God. If you want to turn to Psalm 116, you can. I'll be in there for just a little bit. So it starts off by saying, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. So parents, have you ever been in life group or in a different room that's kind of earshot from your kids, and one of your kids gets hurt or falls off the bed or something, and they start screaming, right? And you know that's your child. Like, you know. You just know that's their cry, right? I can't tell you how many times our life group's been together, and we're all sitting around, and somebody gets hurt, and the kid starts crying, and immediately that parent stands up, right? And it'd be, Jen, that's Harper, you know, or that's Hannah, and they're gone. And it's right. It's true. It's the same way with our Father. Like, he knows our voice. He hears our cry. He knows that that's us. Verse 2 says, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. So just imagine, you know, Lord's doing his thing, just controlling the universe, right? And he's just being God. And then all of a sudden, you call out to him, and he turns his ear to you. He's like, oh, Ben, you cried out to me. Come, right? Come rest in my peace. That's how good our Lord is, and that's how he hears us. So kids, tell me this. Have you ever cried out to your parents? Anybody gotten hurt? Raise your hand, kids. Any kids ever gotten hurt before and cried out or got scared and cried out? Yep, even grown-ups that were kids once, we've done that, right, Zay? So, yeah, praise the Lord. So what happens when you cry out to your parent, your mom or your dad? Do they come? Do they come find you? Do they come to your rescue? Absolutely. Well, maybe for some of them. So most of the time they'll come to your rescue, right? In the same way, your Father in heaven will come to your rescue, kids. They just will. So cry out to him like you would your mother or your father. Cry out to him. Verse 3 says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. So church, this is how we should feel about sin, right? Like it's anguishing. We're overcome by distress. And the sorrow is what we should feel about the cost of redemption, what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. There should be sorrow in our hearts for that. Like, as we turn, as he calls us to salvation, we should hate sin, right? It should just do something in us. And then he says in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Save me. And the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Verse 7 says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. So you see, he comes into salvation, and the Lord says, return to your rest. So I'm so thankful for that. God is good. So kids, so just kind of go back to what we were talking about. After your mom or dad saves you, or you get pulled from just a bad situation, how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel angry, or do you feel restful? Everybody feel a little better after mom and dad saves you, right? So that's the whole point. Like, when the Lord reaches out and saves us, we just feel restful. So when we come into his presence and he saves us and we say, yes, Lord, he just gives us that rest. That's the rest that's given to us. So, church, when we cry out, he hears us. And when he hears you, he saves you. And when he saves us, we're brought into his rest because he gives us himself. He gives us himself. If you're a Christian, that's good news because you can rest in your salvation. If you're not a Christian, that's even better news because today you can enter into his rest. Today you can. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So church, if you're not a believer, you just have to declare and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. So from there, we moved from a rest of salvation, right, to a rest of service. So when he calls us to the rest of service, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So for a minute, let's talk about yoke. Okay, so what is yoke? What is he talking about? So yoke is a frame or crossbar placed on an animal, and it's used to pull objects, right? So think about an ox pulling or tilling up land, something like that. So the yoke is there to keep them stable and to keep things pulling. Or it's a yoke is it's like a piece of wood that you would see slaves carrying on their shoulder with baskets of water or food, and they're kind of balancing it, right? So that's the yoke. So a yoke, it equips us to serve, right? So just think about that. He's saying, take my yoke. So kids, think about this. As you're going back to school and you're filling those backpacks up, right, with things, how would you like to fill your backpack up with all the heavy books for every class you have, all of your athletic gear that's kind of stinky, all of your toys that you love that are at home, and your iPads that you like to watch, and just carry that around with you all day? Who would like to do that all day? You get to eat in it, hold it, nobody, right? I don't see any hands, okay? So not only are you carrying the weight of those things with you, but you're probably constantly thinking like, man, if I could just take that one heavy book out, it would be a little lighter, right? And then you start thinking about that book, you're like, man, I gotta study, I gotta do well in school. And then you get a whiff of those gym clothes, and you're like, man, if I could just take those out, they're kind of stinky, right? And then you start thinking about, man, I've got to go to baseball practice after this, and I've got to perform well so my coach is impressed, right? And then you start thinking about those toys that you packed. And you're like, man, I hope nobody steals those toys today out of my bag, right? Because I sure do love them, right? And then some of you maybe think, man, if I could just get my iPad out and watch it, I would have a little bit of peace and just be able to escape some of this, right? So adults, in the same way, we also carry things of the world, and that yoke is not easy, and the burden is heavy, which brings on anxiety and restlessness. So Dudley Hall would say something like this. He says that we have anxieties as we look for protection, provision, and promotion, right? So that's, as an adult, we tend to have our anxieties looking for that, looking for protection over our family, and just worrying about the things that we can do. Build a solid door in your house, get an alarm system, get a big dog, all those things, right? For provisions, like how am I going to supply the needs of my family, right? I need to have a good job. I need to make money. I need to buy my kids these new clothes for schools, all the provisions that we have. And then promotion, right? Like, hey, I want to get to that next level at work. Like, these are the things that make us anxious as adults. This is the yoke that we carry of the world. But the reality is, like, we have a Father that does all of those things for us. And he's saying, take my yoke, right? The burden is light. So here's a question for you. This is for parents, adults. So who gets better rest in your house? Do your kids get better rest, or you, right? I think you'd say your kids. I know we would. Or adults, did you get better rest when you were a kid or when you became an adult and had all these responsibilities, right? I think you'd say when you're a kid. So here's why. Because our children have a father, a parent, parents, that are worrying about all those things for them, right? That's why they're resting easy. And in the same way, the Lord's saying, you'll find this rest, right? Just take my yoke. He does all of these things for us. He worries about all of these things for us. He just does. He does. Praise the Lord for that. So, another truth to that is, orphans do not have that luxury, right? Orphans don't have that luxury. They don't rest as easy because they don't have a father that's looking after them, that's looking after these things, right? So my question for you today is, are you a child? Are you a son or daughter? Or are you an orphan, right? Are you fatherless? And if you're fatherless and you don't have somebody that's looking over those things, you don't feel that rest and that comfort, like, today's the day, church. Like, you can come and you can receive the Lord and you can have that rest in Him and you can have those provisions. He will take care of you. He just does. He just does. So in verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This language is much like the language in Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Right? So the Lord's saying, take my yoke, take up my cross, and follow me. So the Lord calls us to deny ourselves, right? He calls us to do that, deny ourselves. So we're coming to the lowest place as we take on his yoke. We're coming to the lowest place, like we're the animal of service, right? We're that ox. We're those people carrying the slaves that are carrying the water to and from their homes. Like, we're taking the lowest place under the Lord, but he's saying, hey, don't worry about that. Like, don't worry about that, for my burden is light. My burden is light. So as we humble ourselves and come under the authority of God, we have to remind ourselves. So kids, here we go again. Y'all ready? Who goes to school and teaches their math teacher how to do math? Anybody? I got one. Got a genius back there. Mama's mad. You're going to get in trouble. So you shouldn't do that, right? You probably shouldn't do that. So in the same way, adults, who goes to work and tells their boss how to do their job? We got a couple too. This is great. All right. Well, this message is for you. All right. So Christian, so I'm saying this to you Christians, right? Christian, do you wake up and try to lord over your life every day? Like, do you do that? Hey, there's some days I do, like throughout the day, and I've got to check myself. Like, yes. It's the same thing, church. Do you see it? Like, we're to deny ourselves daily. Like, wake up and give it to the Lord. Come under his yoke and deny ourselves. So, what else do we learn from the Lord? So when it says, we will find rest for your souls, or it says, yeah, we will find rest for your souls. So, as we're learning in school, how do we learn? So, a lot of you may learn on Google, right? So, let's go type in Google and search for something, right? So, in the same way we learn from the Lord, we have to search. We search in the Spirit. Corinthians 2:9-11 says this about searching the Spirit. It says, however, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So not only do we get access to the Father, right? We get access to the Spirit, and the Spirit teaches us about the Father, right? And then the Father teaches us about the Son, and then the Son teaches us about the Father, and it's the Trinity, right? It just keeps going. They just keep teaching us about each other. So you have those things in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One thing we have to be careful of is we constantly have to check ourselves and say, okay, are we seeking the Spirit for things? Are we seeking the Spirit? Are we reading the Word? Are we talking to the saints around us? Like, are we in those places? Is that how we're seeking our knowledge and our wisdom? Or are we seeking things of the Lord, of the world, right? So it's important for us to know that, man, we can get consumed by things of the world, and that just, it's like static noise, right? We just can't hear the Lord clearly when we're consumed in all those ways. So it's always good for us just to check ourselves, like, hey, what are the things that are identifying who I am, right? So some of these things could be sports, it could be media, it could be social media, it could be the job, the promotions, the provisions. Some of these things we've talked about for you kids could be toys, right? And I'm not saying that these things are bad. Hear me, church. These things they're not bad in themselves. They're just not, right? But they're bad if you put those things ahead of the Lord and before the Lord, right? When they start consuming all of your time to to where you don't have time to search and to look and to seek the Lord, right? So 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." That's pretty strong, church. Like, that's the Bible saying that. Like, and that's strong. Again, hear me, those things aren't bad, but you're not to love them and you're not to put them before the Lord. So I would say this, church, if you're feeling like the Lord is telling you something or showing you something that, hey, maybe you're putting this before me or ahead of me, or maybe if you spent less time doing this, you would have more time seeking and searching me, right? If you feel that way, church, then here's what I would suggest. We say it a lot here at Lighthouse. The Lord speaks to us through the Spirit, the Scripture, and the saints, right? So what I would suggest is get in the Word and read, right? And read and see what He has to say. Not what I have to say or Pastor Jason or anybody else. See what He has to say, right, about your time and how He wants you to pursue Him. The second thing is, I would ask somebody. Take it to them. I can't tell you how many times that I've asked people, hey, what are you seeing here in my heart? What are you seeing here? I mean, I've called some of my friends and said, hey, I'm about to go buy this gun, right? Like, what are you seeing in my heart? Do you see that it's still an idol for me? Because it was. I'll tell you, guns and trucks, they were idols for me. And I'll check it with people, right? You do that. That's what the saints are for. And you listen, humble yourselves to that. You listen from the Lord. He'll speak through you that way. And then pray in the Spirit. Just pray. Pray to the Lord and put it before Him. And He has a way of answering your prayers. He could answer your prayers through that saint, through that person around you. He could show you a Bible verse, right? He does all these things, and He does them for your good. Like, that's how we learn from the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So these things He's talking about are provisions. So ahead of that verse, he's saying, hey, don't be anxious for what you eat or what you drink or the clothes you wear, right? He's saying, don't be anxious for these things. And then He says, but seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you, right? Seek first the kingdom. Thank the Lord for that. Matthew 7 says, "For everyone who asks receives, the one seeks finds, and the one who knocks on the door, it will be opened." So church is saying, pray, pray and receive His peace. So He says, for everyone who asks receives, right? So like when we're coming to the Lord, again, specifically talking about salvation, like we are asking, Lord, we're crying out, and we receive Him. We do. We receive Him and His peace every time. Every time. And then for the one who seeks, He finds. He finds. So seek His peace and get to know Him. And then He will let you in the door when you knock, and He'll let you in the Father's house. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Church, He is the reward. Like when you seek Him, He gives you Himself, right? Don't think that there's a big prize box with a big cake in it or something like that. No, like He is the prize. So make sure you're aware of that. Like, hey, we're seeking to get Him, not things of the world, right? So the good news is, the good news is that even though the noise of the world can drown out the way we hear Christ, right? It can. It can be hard to hear Him rightly. And it can keep us from seeing the Lord rightly as well. The good news is His light will illuminate any darkness that there is in your life. It just does. So this is for the believer and the non-believer, right? So if you don't believe in Christ, like He will show you Himself. In fact, if you're here today and you don't believe in Christ, you're here because He's running after you. Like He is running after you. You're not here by happenstance. You're here because He's pulling you in. Like He just is. So even that, like He's shining light in that darkness. For the believers, we have dark things in our heart, right? Like, and He, if you give it to Him, if you submit to Him and come under His yoke, Say, Lord, show me these dark places in my heart. He will. His light shines it up. It does, church. So we're thankful for that as well. So the Lord asks us to seek him, right? To seek him, to learn about him. And as we learn about him, we find that rest. We just do. The more we seek him, the more we know him. The more we know him, the more we love him. Knowing the love of God is the one thing that makes us loving, because he is love. In finding this treasure, you will find rest for your souls. So if the band will come on up. We'll start preparing our hearts for communion. If you want to take out your cup, Drew's going to come up and lead us here in a bit. But I want to leave parents and students with a couple things. So students, if you can still have some attention span here, I want to leave you guys with this, okay? So know that when you go to the Lord and you call upon him, just know that he hears you. He hears you, students. Secondly, the Lord knows your heart better than you do. When you're trying to figure out who you are or what your identity is, turn to him and take on his yoke, because your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in Christ, students. Third, your likeness and worth is not in the clothes you wear. It's not in the new shoes you're going out to buy for the first day of school. It's not in any of those things. It's not in how good you are in sports or how many friends you have. Your likeness is in Christ, in Christ alone. He relates to you. Christ relates to you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to tell him, man, Lord, this class is really hard. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Man, Lord, like, mom and dad keep yelling at me to pick up my room. Like, man, help me out here, Lord. Pick my room up for me. Now, he won't do that, right? But you can ask him these things. Listen, students, like, you can ask him anything. There's nothing that you cannot ask the Lord that he doesn't hear. There's nothing. He just wants that relationship. That's all. That's all. Parents, as we send our kids off to school, I want to leave you with these things. One, I just encourage you not to tolerate the things of the world that are fighting for your children's attention. Because what one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. So let's encourage one another to embrace the Lord in all things. In all things. Second, there will be many things that our children seek after. Be a safe place for them to ask questions. Be a safe place. And show them that we rely on the Lord for those answers. Like, it's okay to say, I don't know, let's pray about it. We're leading them to the Lord, right? Like, we're showing them that our reliance is on the Lord, which is ultimately where their reliance needs to be. So if you're not answering these questions, church, parents, if you're not answering these questions, somebody will. Somebody will. And that may not be a good thing. Third, seek the Lord to find peace and rest in your soul in all regards. In all regards. So just remember, the best way we can seek the Lord, one of the best ways we can seek the Lord, is through the saints around us. Right? So our church is so rich in just wisdom and knowledge and people that are in different seasons of life, right? We have parents in here who have had kids go all the way through grade school, all the way through grade school. We have grandparents in here that have had kids go all the way through grade school and get married, and now their kids are going through grade school, right? You see it? See the different seasons that we have? So parents, if you have questions, like, if you want discipleship in these ways, man, just let us know. We'll absolutely pair you up with somebody and introduce you to some good people who have gone through different seasons in their lives. This is church. This is what we do. Like, we're a community. This is a family. This is a living room. So just like you'd ask your mom or dad or your grandparent for wisdom, this is our living room. Let's ask. Let's equip each other. So let us pray. Father, we love you. God, you're good. Lord, I pray for the souls that are in this room who have not received you. Father, I just feel like you've been telling me the past day that somebody here doesn't believe. God, I pray that you draw them to yourself today, Father. Lord, give them strength to get up out of their seat and to be prayed for by one of our prayer teams, Father. Lord, I pray for the parents that are sending their kids to school. Lord, if they are anxious about the school year, Father, let them come get prayer. Let us pray over them. You're a good Father. You're a good Father. We thank you. We love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. As we transition into communion, if y'all have your flippy cup, if you want to open up the bread side first. I was explaining to Clark this morning, he was asking me a bunch of questions about God, and just what a great reminder it was, because he was talking about being perfect and how are we perfect, and if you don't know the answer yet, we are not perfect and we can never be perfect, and that's why Jesus came, so that he could be perfect for us and that he could die in our place. And I love how the Father sent his Son, and that he communicated this to the disciples over a meal. And they were doing something that they thought they had to do in order to get to heaven. And he was showing them that it doesn't matter how many Passovers you are a part of or how many rules you follow, that it's never good enough. But he is good enough. And so as he took the bread, he said, "This is my body. Take in remembrance of me." Church, let's eat together. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Drink in remembrance of me." Let's drink together, church. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for Ben, for putting those scriptures on his heart, and just for the way in which he communicates your heart and your hope through your son, Jesus. Thank you for Family Sunday. Thank you that we're a church that can be together and rest together and have our kids all together and not focus on whether our kids are doing what we want or not doing what we want. Thank you that we don't have to be embarrassed because you see us and you see us rightly. You see us for those who believe, you see Jesus. And we love you. We thank you. Thank you for the gift that only you could give. I pray that as sons and daughters today, that we would receive your rest, that we would receive the salvation that comes from Jesus. And for those of us who may not yet know you, I just pray that you'd open our eyes. May we see you clearly as you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.